Hi, I'm Mal Majoros. I am an 8-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Today I'm talking to my good friend, Sean Swarner. We've had him on the show before. He's got a couple new things going on, including a new book. He's got his Africa and Kilimanjaro trip. So let's start right into it. How are you today, Sean?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Excellent. Glad I caught you in between your crazy life. I know you just said you're down in Puerto Rico, running away from barking dogs and the AC.
Yeah, it's a little different down here than the States, even though it is part of the, I guess, United States of America, but it's a territory. But it's a little different down here.
Why don't you remind our listeners a little bit about yourself and your story?
Yeah, sure. I'll just give you the, I guess, the Reader's Digest version.
Yes.
Obviously, I've been touched by cancer myself. Unfortunately, I've been touched by it a couple times, but I turned everything around to be a positive. And you'll understand why. But initially, I was diagnosed with advanced stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is cancer of the lymph system. So I basically had cancer from head to toe when I was 13 years old, and the doctors only gave me 3 months to live, which, you know, I kind of just casually mention that now because obviously I'm in remission and I love it now.
It's but like, then, dude, you are so wrong. You just tell the doctor,
yeah,
dude,
exactly.
You are so wrong.
Exactly. Like, sorry, man. You're just not accurate on your forecast. Maybe you should be a weatherman.
Exactly.
So I went through about a year of chemotherapy, you know, lost all the hair in my body, lost a bunch of friends, mm-hmm. lost everything. I remember, you know, my friends were out chasing girls, collecting baseball cards. their hormones were kicking in, growing hair in unusual places on their bodies. I was losing my hair, and I remember being 60 pounds overweight, pulling chunks of hair out of the drain, crying my eyeballs out. Oh. You know, my life was different, and I knew what was important at 13. It wasn't the, you know, the nicest shoes. It wasn't the nicest hairstyles. It wasn't being in a popular clique. It was mm-hmm. it was waking up and being thankful that I was alive.
Exactly.
So I was in remission for about a year, going in for a regular checkup for the first cancer. They found a second cancer, completely unrelated. So there were two primary cancers. Lucky me. they found a tumor on an x-ray. They did a needle biopsy. They took out another lymph node. They put in a Higgman catheter. They cracked open my ribs, took out the tumor, put in a drainage tube, and started chemotherapy in less than 24 hours.
Ooh, is that all?
So yeah, that's it. This time around, it was a lot worse, actually, because, you know, they diagnosed me with a type of cancer that affects 3 in 1 million people with a prognosis of 6%. So my chances of survival were pretty much slim to zilch. And I was unconscious in and out of the hospital for a year. I don't remember being 16 years old. I lost the function of my right lung because of the radiation. There's so much scar tissue in there now that there's no oxygen transfer. You know, I'd be vomiting for days on end. And again, I lost my life. It was on pause. It was on hold. And, you know, the hair loss, the friend loss, everything was just horrendous. But fast forward 10 years from when I was placed in remission, with my one functioning lung, I became the first cancer survivor to climb Mount Everest.
And that's crazy thinking about, and a lot of people probably have seen the movie Everest, which is not about your story, but I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah, I actually I have a quote from a friend of mine who's also I don't want to say also, he's an Everest guide. And he said in the documentary we have on YouTube that if you asked him if it was possible to climb Everest with half your lung capacity, he would laugh in your face. He's like, it's impossible. So, you know, the difference between people who have gone through cancer and the people who haven't, people who have gone through cancer know what real pain is, and they mm-hmm. know that there's more, that life has more to offer. And I think we have a different mentality than a lot of people because we know that we can get through things and continue forward. And I often tell people that cancer was the worst thing that's ever happened to me. But in that same breath, I come back and say that cancer was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that. So you also, before we talk about your latest book, you wrote a book beforehand a while ago.
I did. Yeah. It's called Keep Climbing. And people ask me all the time, well, where can I get it? You know, can I get a signed copy? And I tell them, you know what? It's cheaper to get it on Amazon than it is for me to use my office discount to publisher, which is a shame.
I know, right? Well, that's easy to find.
Just go to Amazon.com and look up Sean Swarner.
So now you climbed Everest. You survived these cancers that probably other people may not have. You defied the odds. Now you have, and you also, let's talk a little bit about, before we delve into your new book, you always go on this Kilimanjaro climb every year with other survivors and other people. Tell us about that.
I do. I actually run a nonprofit called the Cancer Climber Association, because after Everest, it's a lot of people don't know this either, but I'm actually the only person in the world who's done what I've done. So if you look at Mount Everest, if you look at the Seven Summits, which is the highest mountain on every continent, you include Hawaii Ironman, which is the world's championship Ironman distance triathlon, which has been dubbed the world's most difficult race. That alone puts me in a category of one out of over 7 billion people with a B, because no one's ever done it before. But I trekked across Antarctica to the South Pole last year in April of 2017. So next year I'm going to trek to the North Pole. And I jokingly mention this to people who are listening, and people who I give motivational talks to and keynote presentations. I say, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of professional athletes out there, basketball players, football players, soccer players, swimmers, soccer players, lacrosse players. I don't want to keep anybody, not keep anybody out or forget anybody. But if you look at all those athletes out there, there are thousands and thousands of them. But if you look at Everest, the Seven Summits, and just the Hawaii Ironman, not adding in the South Pole or the North Pole, there's one person in history who's accomplished that. And I'm just doing it to provide people with something I never had and give them something I never had, which is hope. And which is why I've done Kilimanjaro for the past 12 years. I've actually made it to the summit 12 times.
Wow.
And jokingly, all my buddies over in Africa, the local tribe over there, they're from the Chuga tribe. And they say, not too many white guys have been up this mountain as many times as I have. So it's kind of funny. A couple of years ago, they adopted me into their Chuga tribe.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they gave me a Swahili name, which means, which is Mzungu Kicha, which literally translates into crazy white man. So I think it's kind of apropos, and it's very fitting. I take a group up every year as a fundraiser, and you don't have to be touched by cancer to go. But what my organization does, the Cancer Climber Association does, is we actually give a grant to a cancer survivor every year to go over and climb Kilimanjaro and go on a 6-day or a 5-day safari for free.
That's awesome.
Are right now accepting applications for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, excellent. You can go to cancerclimber.org for that, correct?
Yes, cancerclimber.org, or they can go to seanswarner.com. We just got invaded with a bunch of malware on Cancer Climber, so I'd suggest going to seanswarner.com. We're in the process of fixing that right now.
I had that happen to my website. It's like, what is this? What happened? Suddenly there's all these...
Yeah, like...
like, why did they pick my website?
Like,
come on.
Why?
Yeah, can't you pick on Google or something? Because I don't have the resources.
Back to the big guys.
So you've taken 12. Well, can you tell me a little bit about the last cancer survivor that you took as your, who got your free trip?
For sure. Yeah, the last guy we took up, his name's Pete Campbell. If you're listening, what's up, Pete? He has an awesome story himself. And you can actually go to both of us were on the Today Show, I think a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And they did a story about me and the organization on their Hope to It segment, which was really cool. And he was up there, and like I said, he has an amazing story. And it's amazing because I remember taking video, and all this is on SeanSorner.com. You can see the videos of him hiking up and then just collapsing down on and falling to his knees, basically, and in tears, and then him hugging me, and I'm holding the camera out right on the crater rim of Africa, the highest point in Africa, Kilimanjaro.
Wow.
And it's just a beautiful background, and I'm hugging him, he's hugging me, and we're just in tears. I mean, and it's such an emotional trip because it's a culmination of training. It's the summit of the entire of your entire life. And people say it's the most difficult thing they've ever done. But going back to what I said before, cancer is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, but it's the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Right.
People always come off the mountain and say it was the most difficult thing I've done, but it's the most rewarding thing that I've ever accomplished.
So you would just need to be in obviously not peak physical condition like you are, but just in, you know, good shape and obviously have your doctor's approval if you're still going through treatment or whatever to climb Kilimanjaro.
Exactly. I would suggest being a survivor first because
right.
if God forbid something happens over there, I wouldn't exactly want to head to any African hospitals near Moshi, Tanzania to get your treatments or say, hey, something happened up on the mountain. We're not quite sure. Well, what's going on with that person? Well, they're going through treatment right now.
Makes
so
sense.
I would wait until you're a survivor.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Because they've only had, I don't know how tall that is, but they've only had that one rescue pretty high up, and that was at Everest in 1996. So you don't want
right.
to have number two.
Exactly. Yeah, Kilimanjaro is 19,341 feet high.
Wow. So how much of an athlete or just weekend warrior was Pete when he climbed last year?
He actually was in phenomenal shape when he went.
Okay.
He had a little trouble up top, but that was about it. And he did an amazing job. And if you do end up going with us,
mm-hmm.
we leave July 7th. We get there. Everybody gets to Africa July 17th, and everybody leaves July 29th or 30th, I believe. And we're the only group on the mountain having fun. It boggles my mind because every other group, they're looking at this mountain looming in the distance. And you can see them trekking along, and they look up, and they're like, oh, my God. And they look back to their feet. They look back up, like, oh, God. And they look back down at their feet. They miss the entire trip. What we do is we break it down and go from camp one to camp two the first day. You know,
right.
The second day is another day. We don't look at the whole thing as one big mountain. It's just like anything in life. If you look at the grand picture, if you look at all of it at once, you get overwhelmed. You almost get, you know, a panic attack.
Yes.
And that's not going to help any. You have to break it down into little chunks. And most important part is you have to enjoy the moment.
Well, yeah, and I think that's what being a cancer survivor is about. We always, you know, there's always that light at the end of the tunnel at the end of treatment, but you do focus on the small victories rather than like the giant big picture where you're like, oh my God, I won't be done with treatment for another year. But it's like, okay, well, I'll be done with this in 3 months and I'll be done with this. And then, like you said, that's how you would conquer that mountain.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I remember when I was going through my treatments the second time, I was happy when I made it to the toilet and didn't throw up or soil the sheets.
Amen, brother. I hear that.
Yeah,
or like, hey, this tastes good now.
I threw up in the toilet this time.
Wow, I can finally taste my food. This is awesome.
Exactly, yeah.
So how many cancer survivors on average do you think you usually bring up per trip? Like, has there been one that's been mostly survivors? I mean, I know it's not just for cancer survivors, but.
So, well, every year we give a grant to a survivor to go up, and the Cancer Climber Association covers all expenses, except for booze and tips. And
right.
Actually, we cover tips too. Booze and personal things.
Right.
We don't cover. We just don't think we should cover someone's expenses to get drunk. Oh, crazy me. But
what?
The first time I did it, I was working on the Seven Summits. The second time I did it as a fundraiser, and then we decided to include the Adventure Support Grant to support people going over there. So we've taken a handful of survivors up there.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, it's kind of all over the place. You don't, like I said, you don't have to be a survivor to go. Anyone
right.
can go. But we always do have extra survivors on the trip.
And it seems like the cost, even if you don't get the grant, that seems like a pretty reasonable price for a summit. Like, I don't know what it costs to climb a mountain, but you know, if you're looking at what you say, if the grant cost $6,000 or the prices, then, I mean, that seems like a pretty for a trip to Africa. Come on.
Definitely. I've done a lot of research, and one of the reasons we're so cheap is because I've done it so many times. The government, local government, doesn't charge me to get into the mountain. I don't get charged by the local climbing company to even do anything.
Nice.
So no expenses are made for me. I go over for free, basically. And it's like I said, I've done some research, and other companies charge, you know, $7,000 just for the mountain.
Wow.
We do a 6-day hike. And just throwing out there, there's nothing technical about the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can do it as long as you're in decent shape. You know, it's a trek, and we go between 5 hours each day, and the longest one is the last day. And I believe the longest day we've had has been 18 hours.
Whoa.
And that's mostly mental, because we leave at 11 p.m. or midnight, and we hike through the night with our headlamps on.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're doing it under the full moon, which is going to be really cool. So we won't even need headlamps. So we're going up through the night, full moon behind us, going up the summit, and we summit around 9 a.m. So that's 9 hours right there. And then we have to come back down to that last camp, which is probably another 2 hours. So there's 11 hours, and then maybe four or five more hours back down to the last camp.
Wow.
So we're looking at 15 hours on, but that's the longest day. Before that, it's about 6 to 8 hours. So if you can hike and you can move for 6 to 8 hours a day, you'll be perfectly fine.
Oh, that sounds awesome. And I think it's great that the government realizes, they probably realize the good that you're doing and the, you know, and the good PR that you're giving for the mountain for the trip, that they're not charging you for anything.
I think so, just because, you know, like I said, I've been over there enough times that I know the people at the gates, and they kind of recognize me when I go over with the groups now in town, because normally, you know, people who are lighter skinned show up and they stick out like a sore thumb over in Africa. So we walk in and all the people start surrounding our group, trying to sell them stuff. Like, you know, I make these bands. You know, these are homemade bands. You should buy a T-shirt. I'll give you a good price. You know, buy this necklace. Buy this hat. What about this? You should get this. You should get that. I'll give you a good price. And then they see me like, oh, you know, kaka, which means brother. How you doing? And then they kind of let up and just let our group do our thing. It's really, really cool.
That's awesome. That's nice that you're not surrounded by the people trying to sell you tchotchkes all the time, because I know that, you know, if I went, I would just want to soak in the atmosphere and see everything that's there.
And that's exactly what we do. One of the things that I really enjoy sharing with people is the local culture.
Right.
So I walk them around. I show them what I call, it's their market, but I call it the local Walmart. You know, walking through the local Walmart where they can see all the things for sale. They have dried fish. They have beans. They have other things out there. And it's a really interesting way of seeing a different culture. And then we go up the mountain, then we come back down, and then we go visit a Maasai village. You know, they all know me there too. And it's like they welcome us with open arms as part of the family. It really is an amazing experience and a life-changing trip.
Wow. That sounds amazing. And 2 weeks is when you, is that the deadline for the grant, for the survivor grant?
Yes, in about 2 weeks, we're going to be selecting one of the survivors to go with us.
Okay.
So people can just send a message to Kilimanjaro, K-I-L-I, at cancerclimber.org, and shoot me a message, and I'll get right back to you as soon as humanly possible, and we'll consider you guys the survivors for the Adventure Support Grant.
And how long do non-survivors have to sign up for the trip? Can they sign up like... I mean, I know that you have to get your passport and all the other stuff you need to go for an international trip. But what is the cutoff date for that?
Well, we've actually had people join because they had their passport, they had their Hep B, you know, all those vaccines that they needed.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people join the group 2 weeks before we left.
Okay.
I thought it was personally crazy, but they were in phenomenal shape. One, she was a marathon runner and hiker and trail runner and just great shape, but I do not suggest that. I would suggest within the next month to decide, because flights are going to go up and costs are going to get more expensive, but it really is an amazing trip. Anybody can go, and it will change your life, I promise.
Awesome. And since we're speaking of changing your life, you have a new book out that you want to help people change their life with, the 7 Summits to Success.
Exactly. And that's actually a really cool thing, too, because I have a co-author, Lance Snow,
yes,
and he's helping me write some sections of it. And it's a very, very unique book. So I don't want to say it's a self-help book because I don't really like that genre. I don't like that label.
Right.
But I want to say it's an inspirational nonfiction where a character, a relatable character, goes through your typical story arc of developing, like I said, a relatable character who has some goals, who hits some conflict, who hits resolution, and comes out the other side as a hero. And what that hero learns along his journey, the reader learns as well. You know, tips and tools and how somebody became unstoppable at the end. And at the very end of the book, there's 10% of it that explains exactly what the hero did. So it's me going through my first climb up Everest, going through the cancers, a lot of visualization, mm-hmm. a lot of recognizing the negative self-talk that we all have, and coming out the other end as a hero, summiting Mount Everest, you know, with one lung and essentially proving that the supposed impossible really is a possibility.
Right.
And the new book actually, it guides readers in finding effective strategies that produce real results. You know, everybody has an empowering story and a unique perspective, but they also have a potential to change their own world. And the new book actually guides people to their meaning and helps them create a mindset for greatness. And everybody has it within themselves. They just might need a roadmap to help people achieve personal growth through an understanding of how to make positive change and how I did it.
And that makes sense because, as you said, a lot of people have that negative self-talk and a lot of people have, you know, the ability to climb their own personal Mount Everest, but they I'm sure they do need a roadmap. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of people say, well, I want to do this, but I don't know if I can. It's like, well, why don't you? But there's always that,
exactly.
You know, there's always that voice inside your head that's saying, well, I don't know if I should. It's like, well, like Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. I mean, there's nothing stopping you but you.
Yes. And one of the questions I always bring up and one of the issues I always talk about in my seminars and in my speaking engagements is I talk to people and basically tell them that what you just mentioned, that self-talk, we are our own worst critics.
Yes.
You know, we're so hard on ourselves. And you spend more time with yourself than anyone else in the world. And all those, I don't want to say this too badly, but all those proverbial voices in your head, you know, mm-hmm. not the ones that make you crazy. You know, if you have those crazy ones in your head that are constantly chattering, you might want to go see somebody.
Exactly.
But the voices in your head, you know, that self-talk, would you be friends with someone who is constantly that negative to you?
It's true. It's very true.
No. So when you look in the mirror, you know, you have to be your own best friend and you have to be your own best supporter as well. So people need to realize that all that negative self-talk is just constantly bringing them down. And you are what you eat, yes, but you are what you think. And if you're constantly negative about yourself, I can't do this, I can't do this, I don't have enough experience, I don't know how to do this. Those are opportunities to turn things around and say, I may not have the experience, but I'll do my best. I'll do the research and I'll do this, I'll do that. You know, it's an opportunity for growth. For example, if you're walking down the street mm-hmm. and you're telling yourself, don't trip, don't trip, don't trip, mm-hmm. what's going to happen?
You're going to trip. I actually did that at my brother's wedding. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to trip up the stairs going up to the... Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you trip?
I did. In the dress.
So let me ask you this. If you turn that around, and you kept saying to yourself, walk tall, be strong.
Exactly. I know, you're right. You're...
Don't trip is still negative.
Exactly. You are right. See, that's why people need
and
to have you
this,
come speak.
This book helps.
Yes, and read the book.
Exactly. People need to bring me in to give talks to their corporations, their universities, their high school, their everything, mm-hmm. because everybody needs to learn that we all have that negative self-talk. And what I talk about in this book, we just go to seanswarner.com and pick it up. It talks about helping people get over that negative self-talk and how to do that. And I'm in the process of writing the second ebook. I'm going to be doing 7 of them.
Awesome.
So it's all going to be one book each month. And then that way it helps people to work on one thing each month. And if you look at the quote unquote self-help books out there now, they're 300 pages long. And after each chapter, you have, 18,000 things to work on. It's overwhelming. But if you look at what Lance and I are doing with this mm-hmm. book, it's one thing, one month.
Nice.
If you screw up one day, big deal. You have 29 or 30 more days to work on it.
That's you, Sean. You add more days to the month. So that's your month. The 40-day month.
No, I'm working on cloning. It's not working so well.
Well, and the great thing is it's an ebook. I have Kindle on my iPhone, so pretty much you can read it. I mean, there's people who like real books and people who like ebooks. And, if you're not a real book person or you don't have the room to carry a book around, you can just have it right on your smartphone.
Exactly. And I think it's an audio format too. So, if it is, I need to double check. But if it is, you can listen to it while going to work. It's 120 pages long. And it really does take you through an amazing adventure. And people who don't want to work on themselves and achieve great goals, that's great. I don't suggest that, but it still has an amazing story.
I don't know anyone who doesn't want to improve themselves.
So there you go.
And in at least one form or another. So what are you doing
I'm always working on it.
What are you doing down in Puerto Rico?
I'm actually, my girlfriend lives down here.
Oh, nice.
So I'm down in San Juan, and I fly, I travel all the time. I had a $250 voucher on American Airlines and found a flight for $290. So I cashed in the voucher, and it was going to expire February 29th. So I came down a few days ago and spent $40 to come to Puerto Rico.
Did she go with you to any of the climbs, Kilimanjaro or anything?
She does not yet.
Not yet.
In fact, she's at work. I'm working down here. She's at work, and I basically just... put my butt from my couch to her couch, and I'm doing work down here.
So when are you going to get her to go with you? That sounds like...
I'm trying to get her to go this August.
Oh,
so
awesome.
This July on the Kilimanjaro trip.
On the Kilimanjaro trip? I imagine she's in pretty decent shape, so you'd be able to just be like, let's go. No excuses, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. But everybody does have to train, and I tell them the best way to train for something is by doing that something.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to run a marathon, you're not going to hop in the pool and swim back and forth. If you're going to go hike a mountain, put on a backpack and go hiking around your neighborhood. Go
exactly.
Find some stairs. Go up and down.
That's a good idea, yeah. Or the local ski hill. We have a local ski hill right around here, so that's a good idea too.
There you go. You can hike, and you can train anywhere in the world. We had... a few people a couple of years ago make the summit from Miami. So if people are coming up with those excuses, I can't do it because I live at sea level. And I've had people write to me saying, well, I'm not quite sure because I have asthma, exercise-induced asthma. I just write back and say, I have one lung.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your excuse is invalid.
Yeah, exactly. That's null and void.
Yeah. What do you respond to that?
But obviously, yeah, but obviously in a good way, jokingly.
Right.
And one of the things that I'm sure you learn too is when you go through anything traumatic, you have to have a good sense of humor and not take things too seriously.
That's true. And I'm looking at your the brochure also. You go on a little safari as well, which is pretty cool.
Yes, we do. It's 6 days up and down the mountain, and we go on a 5-day safari. We hit the Serengeti and hit Lake Manyara in a place called the Ngorongoro Crater, which is awesome. So if anybody's ever seen the movie Lion King, then they speak a little Swahili and they can see where I don't want to say where it was filmed, but
in theory,
you know what I mean?
Yes. That's awesome. So when people want to go on this trip and find more about your book and download it, where would they go?
SeanSwanner.com, just like Sean Connery, S-E-A-N, and then just like the Warner Brothers with an S.
Wow, that was easy. That's easy to know. And thank you so much, Sean, for taking time out of your relaxation mode today to join me. If you hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mal Majoros. I'm the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.